Cincinnati. Welcome to episode 252 of Cincinnati, the Bengals UK podcast. My name is Paul Hirons, and, well, wouldn't you know, we only released episode 251 mere days ago, but I told you, I did say that Cincinnati would be coming thick and fast over the draft period, and I'm true to my word, goddammit, and this is a shorter episode. An amuse-bouche, if you like, because I'll tell you why. It's an amuse-bouche. It's a little morsel, little chompy morsel there to chow down on before the main event, which is next week. We're recording this on Thursday, the 18th of April, which means we're only literally, we are only a week away from the 2024 NFL Draft. And there's the potential there for the Bengals to pick up 10 new players. That's always seems to get lost, I think, in all the chitter-chatter and the mock drafts of the experts trying to justify their existence over this period. Is that whoever team that you support, you're likely going to get at least, you know, 6-7 players, you know, depending on who, how many picks you've got, obviously. But with the Bengals' case, we've got 10 picks. That's crazy, isn't it? We're going to get some really good new young players. They could turn out to be heroes. Our new heroes. And that's exciting. I can't wait to see where the Bengals go, because they could go all sorts. I've just finished recording an interview with, annual interview, actually, with Joe Goodberry. And that will be coming out in a couple of days' time. So again, our draft coverage continues unabated. We had our British Bengals fan draft panel a couple of weeks back. Earlier on this week, Nathan and I did our first ever live mock draft on Cincinnati. That was really good fun, wasn't it? And Joe Goodberry is coming up next week. So what is happening in this little mini episode, I hear you ask? Well, let me tell you, dear listener, let me tell you. Nathan's not here tonight. He's off making soup, eating poppadons, drinking Manabria, and generally being a nuisance around London town. So he'll be back for the Joe Goodberry episode, and we'll be revealing who we think the Bengals are going to draft, and also who we would like the Bengals to draft. Playing the name game, that's always a fun thing. So tune in for that. Nathan's back in the next episode, episode 253. But in this episode, 252, we're going to be talking to a bona fide prospect. And as regular listeners will know, we started this concept back a couple of years ago when we got to talk to Logan Hall, who now plays for the Bucks, but was widely touted for the Bengals. This year, I'm happy to say that we're going to be speaking to Louisiana Tech's Cecil Singleton Jr. And he told me off, actually, because I called him Cecil, but it's not. It's Cecil. Cecil Singleton Jr. Really nice bloke, man. He's a safety, as I say, he's out of Louisiana Tech, but more importantly, he's a Cincy boy. He went to high school in Cincinnati, born and raised in the Queen City, and because of that, he was invited along to the Bengals' local boy tryout. I'm sure it's got a different name to that, but there he was with the likes of Juwan Briggs and other guys from the Bearcats and Ohio State and Miami Ohio universities. Cecil was there, and it's a really interesting chat with a really nice guy. And I think it's important to catch up with these guys, because the draft process, as I mentioned, is full of guys like me and you and other people who just love to do mock drafts, and it's names, positions. And we often overlook the human side of being a draft prospect, having to travel from pro day to pro day, having to put on your best show available at workouts, and people looking at your arm length and checking your weight out and your height and how high you can jump, how far you can jump. You are like a piece of meat, really. It's a strange process, isn't it? And you know, we often talk about, you know, the top prospects, Bengals, who the Bengals might choose in the first round, people like, I don't know, Fraga or Amarius Mims or JC Latham or Byron Murphy or Jazane Johnny Newton or, I don't know, Brian Thomas, and, you know, people like that. But what about the back end of the draft? What about those guys who are desperate to get on the roster, don't have a first, second, third, fourth round grade? This is their shot. They might get on, they might not. It's a battle for them. There are hundreds of players, dozens. There are dozens, if not hundreds of players, all striving for that one dream to get on a roster, you know, make it to a training camp and to get on a roster. And I think, he doesn't mind me saying this, but I think Cecil is in that category. You know, he's got a battle on his hands, and he knows it. He does know it. So I think it's really fascinating to hear from someone in that position how they approach things mentally, how they approach things physically, and we'll be going through all of that in a few moments' time with Cecil Singleton Jr. It's all good fun, isn't it? Next week we are planning to do some Good Morning Bengals, which is basically some video stuff. Our own version of a breakfast show. After each round, we'll be reacting to the Bengals pick. Look out for that on our social media at @WhoDay_UK, Bengals UK on Facebook and Bengals_UK on Instagram. And we've got lots of other things coming up as well. We're going to be poring over the fixture list when it comes out in about three. We reckon it's going to be about 3 weeks' time. So we're going to be primed and ready. There's a chance, obviously, that the Bengals might be in Germany this year playing the Panthers. But we are. I am pleased to say that we've teamed up again with Touchdown Trips to offer the opportunity to go and see a game in Cincinnati later on in the autumn. So we'll be poring over the fixture list and perhaps trying to get something going. But I know the guys at Touchdown Trips will be opening up a registration page in the near future. So again, we'll put that out on our social. So do, if you're interested, do sign up. No obligation, obviously, at this time. But do sign up. The last 2 years have been pretty fantastic. What a great experience. Also, we've got some things planned for our 10th anniversary, some celebrations and some initiatives. So look out for them once again on our socials. So it's all go. It might be the off season. After the draft, we're about to enter that kind of weird tumbleweed season. That doesn't stop us running and maintaining this community, this brilliant fan community of ours. Right, I'm waffling. I do feel as though I'm waffling now, so I'm going to stop and bring in our special guest. Cincinnati. Now, I'm delighted to say that we do have, as I mentioned, an actual bona fide prospect to talk to. As listeners will know, we try to do this every year, just because it's really fascinating to hear the human stories behind the NFL draft. And I'm delighted to say that we've got local kid, a Cincinnati boy, Louisiana Tech's safety, Cecil Singleton. Cecil, are you there? And if you are, welcome to Cincinnati.
Hi, how you doing, Paul? Thanks for having me.
Now, see, so we always like to, as I mentioned, we always like to kind of chat about what it's actually like to go through this, because we, us Brits, kind of look at the whole draft process from afar, thinking, goodness me, that looks really crazy. You know, you're being evaluated like pieces of meat, really. Height, weight, how quick you are, how long your arms are, how, all these drills that you have to go for. But before we get to all that, let's just talk about you a little bit. I mentioned you were born in Cincinnati. So just take us through your journey, your life journey, your athletic journey, your football journey, up to this point so far.
So I started playing football when I was 7 years old, for a little league organization called Hilltop Hawks, and then that kind of grew my like love for the game. So I played all the way from seven, and then like through middle school with like my middle school buddies and stuff like that. And then when I got to high school, I went to Princeton Middle School, and when I got to high school, I felt like transferring out of Princeton was like a smarter idea for like just more competitive like nature for football. So I end up going to LaSalle High School
And these
for
are LaSalle is quite a famous high school school in Cincinnati, isn't it?
it's definitely a powerhouse. They won like three state championships in a row in the past decade. So like there it's a real big football school. And then I end up being in a situation where I felt like I had to transfer to like get my athletic ability out there. So I ended up transferring to Walnut Hills High School. And that's when I felt like I started getting the recognition that I worked for and deserved. And after my junior season, I started getting a lot of like football offers from like D1 programs and stuff like that.
I've been to
So
Walnut Hills. I've been to Walnut Hills. There's a bar in Walnut Hills. I guess you wouldn't have gone to this at your at that
yeah,
age, but
no, sir.
there's a bar in Walnut Hills, right? I don't know if you know this one, but you walk in and it's like a video store, but it's not. There's a secret door and you open it and it goes into like, I think when we were there, me and my mate Jimmy went in 2017, it was like a Quentin Tarantino themed bar, cocktail bar.
Really?
And had some of the strongest cocktails I've ever had. But anyway, that's a different story. Cecil is laughing at me here, I can tell you, listeners. So yeah, you didn't go to any secret video bars in video store bars in Walnut Hills. You went to high school and you're a good boy, right? You're a good
Yes,
boy.
sir. Yeah, on grades great, on the field, just hard worker. And then my head coach at Walnut Hills ended up getting fired from our
No.
program. So, I ended up moving back to Princeton High School for my senior year, under Coach Daniels, and that was a good season. And then I went to Miami, Ohio out of my like out of high school. So that was the university I went to for 4 years, under Chuck Martin and his staff. And
Tell,
then
just see, so 1 second. Sorry to interrupt. We hear about the Bearcats all the time, and because of the basketball crosstown rivalry, we hear of Xavier quite often as well. Tell
right.
us a little bit about Miami, because it's not obviously not Florida. It's Miami, Ohio.
Right.
Tell us whereabouts it is. Tell us what kind of place it is. I think that would be interesting for people who follow college football over here.
Yeah, Miami, Ohio is it's like 45 minutes outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. It's like more of like a public Ivy school, so like they're high on academics, and it's a great campus, and they have like a great football tradition there.
I know for a fact that Bengals.com's Jeff Hobson lives in Oxford as well. It's in a town called Oxford, right? It's set in a
Yes,
town
sir.
called Oxford. Just to, because obviously we have a town, a very famous university town called Oxford over here as well.
Right.
Okay, so you were at Miami and you did well. And then what happened? You transferred to Louisiana Tech, would that be right?
Yes, sir. So my I had 2 years of eligibility after I graduated from Miami University. So I ended up going to Louisiana Tech under Coach Cumbie, and that was a great experience because I'm from Cincinnati, and then going all the way down to Louisiana with no one, like, I was very uncomfortable, but I feel like that's how I grew as a person and a player, just being uncomfortable.
And like you say, was that because you were so far away from home? It was the first time you'd been away from home. It was kind of a growing up experience. You had to grow up quickly, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was definitely like a growing experience and just a culture shock, like how people talk, how I talk. Like it was just different for everyone. 'Cause I think I was like one of the first football players on Louisiana Tech's team from Cincinnati, Ohio. So the way that I talked, it was just way different than someone from Louisiana would speak. But after I got into the program and like got to know everyone, it was like family there.
No skyline, no gold star, no graters, no
Roses.
La Rosa's pizzas. I mean, what did you do? How did you survive?
I really just cooked for myself. So like I would just go to the grocery store, get like just all the things that I needed for the week and then just cooked and stuff. But yeah, that's really how I survived. And then my mom, she would actually like on like when we had games, she would actually give me the big boxes of Grippos.
Oh wow, so she sent some
Yeah.
little care packages down to you.
Yes, sir.
Ripo's
So
care packages. Oh my
I would
God,
share that
imagine.
with my teammates. And I would always say, like, these are the best chips in the world. You got to try them. And then when they try them, they're like, you got to give me some more Grippos and stuff like that. So.
Oh man. But just looking at your what happened in 2023 when you played down there for the Bulldogs. You're a redshirt senior, and you registered 74 tackles, including one for loss, a forced fumble, interception, and two pass breakups. You had a game-sealing interception in the game against, what was it, FIU,
Sure.
11 tackles and a pass breakup against North Texas, tackle for loss and pass breakup against Jacksonville State. You know, you're listed as a defensive back, but obviously, well, first of all, tell us where your best position is, where you like, where you enjoy playing. I know what you're going to say. You will play anywhere for anyone. I know that you'll say that, but where do you prefer to play?
I prefer to play like safety, like it doesn't matter what safety it is, whether that's like in the boundary or like high over top safety, just anywhere. I feel like I give like a team of versatility because like I can play like man coverage. I've had a lot of man snaps in my career and just like my experience just on the field. But yeah.
I mean, it's obvious from those stats alone that you know how to make plays. You are around the ball. You are breaking passes up. You're getting in amongst it in the backfield. Tell us, is that instinct? That's obviously a bit of instinct, right? That's just a God-given kind of innate feel for the game and where the ball's going to be, I guess.
It's definitely instinct is a part of it, but I hang my hat on like preparation. So like film study is like everyone, how I look at it, everyone is athletic. Like everyone has athletic ability, especially like at the NFL level. Like if you're in the NFL, you're gonna be athletic. But like if you know what's gonna happen before it happens through film study and like preparation, I feel like that gives you an advantage to put yourself in the best position to make plays.
You've got some physically, we talked about earlier, you know, just offline that we'll get to this in a second, but the assessment process for NFL prospects is kind of must be weird because people are kind of marking down your height, your weight, your arm length, your 40 time, what you do in drills and all the rest of it. That's weird.
Right.
But you do have, I mean, looking at your physical characteristics, you know, 6'2", 210 pounds. That's a great size to be a safety, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
So let's move on then. You're eligible for this year's draft. What's the feeling going into this process, and how has the process differed from what you thought it might be? I know you've got a fantastic agent, Jesse, who we're Jesse Jones, who he's been on this podcast before, who will absolutely get you ready for all this stuff. But what surprised you? What didn't you? Is it crazier than you thought? Is it weird? What's the feeling in your head?
I feel like the process, like just coming out of like, okay, my last game as a Bulldog, and then it's like, okay, we got to transition to figure out what's the best way to get me as strong, like the best athlete I can be for my pro
So
day.
what did you do then? What is, because something we've not talked about, what is that interim period like between after you've sort of declared or finished with your college team, you declared you're going full on into this. What's and then you get all the kind of workouts, pro days and all the rest of it. What's that in between period like? How do you prepare yourself for the next big leap forward?
So I went to Columbus, Ohio, and I trained with his name is Eric Lichter. He used to be the head strength and conditioning coach at Ohio State, but he runs a private like workout program stuff for pro day guys. So I would go there 5 6 days a week. We would do speed training, agilities, just everything you do for pro day. And like now I'm in the position now where I have to transition from pro day stuff to where it's like 40-yard dash and 20-yard shuttle. Now it's like everything is football oriented now. So like drill work, and stuff like that.
And
So now I'm in.
is that more fun for you than the regular kind
It
of,
is
yeah.
more fun to me. At the end of the day, it's football. Like you want to play football. You don't want to always like you don't want to be running track or you want to showcase your talents like in the football world. So I feel like this is more fun for me, definitely.
Now we're recording this on Wednesday. Yesterday you were back in your hometown, and yesterday you were working out for the Cincinnati Bengals, weren't you? So tell us about that experience. We saw various pictures online, but coming from a person who was actually there, what tell us what happens, what kind of drills you have to go through. Tell us about the whole experience. I think it'd
It
be
was a
fascinating for
great
people to.
experience. You get there, you get the stretch and stuff, and then like this is a local day, so like all like the local guys that you like grew up with in high school and stuff, like you see them come around full circle, and you're like, dang, like you made it here too. Like that's pretty cool. So that was definitely like a full circle moment. And then like during the workouts, we got a chance to like talk to the coaches and stuff. Like your position coaches, and then they really just put you through a series of drills that they feel like that they go through as a professional team, and they really see like what you got to bring to the table.
And how long did the whole kind of, did you have lunch? Did they give you a tour around the stadium? What was going on there? What I mean, I
No,
know that you're
sir.
in the practice bubble, but
No, sir. So we had to be there by 7. By 7
whoa.
a.m.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So I got there around like 6, 6:15, just to try to.
Super excited, right?
Yeah, I was definitely. I couldn't sleep the night before. So after like 7, we basically everyone bus we bust over to the indoor facility at 7:20, and then we got like a 10 minute like dynamic stretch in, and then after that it was like. We did like 15 minutes worth of drills, and then Coach Taylor brought us up and just had a great conversation with us, and then we went
What
on
does
about it.
Coach Taylor say in that situation? Just kind of welcomes you and wishes you the best of luck and that kind of stuff, or anything a bit
Yeah,
deeper?
basically like just enjoying the process, like whether you're drafted or undrafted, like the work is put in. Yeah, around those lines.
I bet, did your mum give you an enormous Grippo lunch box to take with you, or did you leave the Grippos out of it this time?
Yeah, I left the Grippos at home, man.
Okay. Right. Okay. So this is all exciting, right? This is all really, really exciting. Have you worked out for any other teams, or what's been the process like for you in that respect?
No, sir. I haven't worked out for any other teams. So now I'm just waiting on a call or a blessing, honestly. So that's just where I'm at.
Okay. So that was going to be my next question. What are we now? Just over a week until the draft. Are you feeling excited, or are you feeling what? How are your thoughts at the moment? Because and expectations. Are you expecting to hear your name call, or is Jesse, as your agent Jesse, kind of primed you for like, right, okay, don't panic or freak out if your name is not
Right.
called. There is a process to go through. What's your approach to all this at the moment?
Yeah,
What's your
definitely,
mindset?
like, don't panic or anything if you're like if your name not called, like, just always keep faith and just believe that the work that you put in is gonna like reciprocate out to the world. So I definitely my family and like Jesse has definitely been giving me like positive like reinforcement, just telling me just to stay locked in and stuff like that. So I'm always positive.
Must be difficult though to maintain that sort of balance, really, because I guess you cannot, you're so itching to showcase your talents for someone. This is you're on the cusp of I would imagine your boyhood dream of making it in the NFL. And there is a chance that, let's be realistic, there is a chance that it might not happen on draft day or
For
over the draft
sure.
weekend, right? So how do you maintain that balance? How do you stay sane? Like you say, I
I
wouldn't be
mean,
sleeping at the moment. I'd be like excited, nervous,
I definitely
really
understand
hyped
what
up.
I feel like I've put in the work that like I've needed to put in, like I've given it like all I've could. So like if it doesn't work out in my favor, like I can say like I don't have any regrets at the end of the like at the end of the process. But like that's basically where my headspace is at. I'm just like I put in the work, I've dedicated my whole body, my whole mind to this process and let the chips fall where they may.
That's a really great attitude, man. That's a really great attitude. So, Cecil, just give us an elevator pitch, right? What kind of player are you? Cecil Singleton, let's refer to you in the third person strangely for a little while here. Give us the elevator pitch about Cecil Singleton. Tell us what kind of player you are, what you're going to bring to a team, all that
Right.
kind of stuff.
I feel like I'm very versatile. I played in many different defenses, so I'm very smart and I can pick up on things very quickly. When it comes to playbook and stuff like that, I'm a high energy guy, so like I'm always trying to bring the team up. I'm always giving people encouragement. I feel like I'm a leader on the field and off the field. So yeah, you're getting the guy who's not going to cause any trouble off the field. Just a great guy, I feel like, to me.
Well, I knew that I was going to be talking to you for about a week or so before this chat. I was looking forward to it, and you come across as a really great guy, and I was looking out for you yesterday and rooting for you silently. And
Appreciate it.
I know for a fact that now we've spoken to you, and you're going out on our podcast, you will have all of the Bengals fans over here in the UK behind you and rooting for you. So all I can say is, man, listen, good luck. Thank you for the time, first and foremost. It's
Thank
been
you. I appreciate it.
really interesting to talk to you. But also, I just wish you so much luck, man. Really do. And please come on the podcast and let us know again, just to let us know how it's all going. And we'd love to talk to you again. But yeah, we'll be thinking about you, be rooting for you, and best of luck. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Sensei Matter.
There we go. That was Cecil Singleton Jr., safety out of Louisiana Tech, but more importantly, Cincinnati born and bred. And I do mean that, and what I said to him, once you get the British Bengals fans on your side, you will feel it. And so I urge you to wish him good luck. Go and tell him. and drop him a message on Twitter at CJLTE. I don't think Nathan would give that a solid handle, if I'm being honest, very honest, Cecil. But it's a handle nonetheless. Everyone needs a handle, but maybe not. That's not the most solid of handles. So yeah, at CJLTE, go and say hello to Cecil. Wish him well, and goodness me, if he gets to get onto a roster somewhere, then again, we'll be right behind him and cheering him on. Right, I hope you enjoyed that. I did. I do find it fascinating. As I say, kind of, maybe no one else does. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me finds that kind of thing fascinating. Again, as I said to Cecil, you know, we don't get to have drafts in the UK. It's all about money, isn't it? It's all about who buys who and whatnot. Over there, it is the draft system, and I do find it interesting speaking to guys who have to go through that. And I think Cecil comes at it from a slightly different angle, from you know, the lower graded areas of the draft, you know. And I'm sure he'll fight and scrap if he gets the opportunity. So best wishes to Cecil. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Joe Goodberry is coming up in the next episode. Well, that'll be out in a couple of days' time. If you're listening this in a sort of a linear way, it will be out in a couple of days' time. And then, of course, we'll wait and see what happens in the draft. Do tag us into any mock drafts and discussions that you have online. Nathan will be back as well on for the next episode. So until then, it is a Who Day from me. And it should also be noted that the views and opinions expressed within this podcast do not reflect those of the Cincinnati Bengals organization.